I wish I could remember you. By Sunset Mog. Read by De Patty. Abandoned Fic. Pairing Spencer Smith, Brendan Urie. Rated teen. Summary. Spencer wakes up in the hospital after a surfing accident and can't remember the last 3 years of his life. The doctors tell him his amnesia is likely to only be temporary, but in the meantime, Spencer can't remember the house he shares with Brendan, their dog, or how long they've been dating. Because they are dating, right? Spencer wakes up to the worst pain he can imagine ever suffering. His head feels like it's about to explode, and when he tries to turn his head, sparks explode behind his eyes. He can't focus on anything. The room is a blur of whites and grays, and when he tries to speak, he sounds hoarse and scared. "Spence," someone says, and the voice sounds familiar. "Brendan?" Spencer tries, and he blinks, trying to focus. The guy leans in, touching Spencer's shoulder. "Hey, Spence, don't try and talk. Fuck. Thank fuck you're okay. Brendan," Spencer says again, because he still can't see properly. He keeps blinking, but every time he tries to move, his vision explodes and everything goes blurry again. "I don't." Brendan stills him with a hand to his shoulder. "Shh," he says. "You hit your head," he says. "At the beach." Spencer doesn't remember the beach. He doesn't even live anywhere near the beach. "We're at the hospital," Brendan says softly. "Shane's here too." Spencer doesn't remember Shane, either. "Brendan," he says again, and this time he sounds upset. "Fuck, it hurts." "Shane's gone to get the doctor," Brendan says, grabbing Spencer's hand and squeezing. "Don't try and talk. Everything's gonna be okay." "You have a concussion," the doctor tells him, which Spencer had sort of already figured out. "Now, do you remember what happened?" Spencer tries really hard, but he can't. "Brendan," Spencer says, trying not to move. His head hurts so much he can barely breathe. "Brendan, I don't remember." He can focus better this time, but something still isn't right. He blinks again, but it doesn't change anything. Brendan doesn't look like he's supposed to. Brendan's supposed to be 17. He isn't. He's broader and less awkward and older. He's hot. "I don't remember, Brendan." "It's gonna be okay," Brendan says, but he sounds scared, and Spencer doesn't know where Ryan is. "Don't cry, Spence. Everything's gonna be okay." The first night Spencer spends in the hospital is the worst night of his entire life. He has to lie completely still and stare up at the ceiling. Any other position and pain explodes behind his eyelids. He can't sleep because of the pain, and he can't remember ever feeling so sick. He's all by himself, and try as he might, he still can't remember the run-up to his accident or anything that's happened in the last 3 years. It's all a blank, a dark hole in his brain, and he hates it. When Spencer wakes up again, Brendan's sitting by his bed, flicking through a magazine. "Hey," Spencer says hoarsely. "Hey," Brendan says, and he jerks forward, reaching for the jug of water and dropping the magazine onto Spencer's bed. "You want something to drink?" he asks, and he pours Spencer a glass, holding out the straw for Spencer to sip through. "Thanks," Spencer says, and tries not to stare at how Brendan's changed. The last time he remembers seeing Brendan, he was awkward and 17, wearing stripy t-shirts and falling over his feet and laughing too loudly and too long. Now he's maybe just as dorky as he always was, but he's tan and freckly and kind of buff, and he's definitely not 17 anymore. He's 22, apparently. He seems like he's more relaxed in the way he holds himself, although right now he's looking taut and worried. He's asking how Spencer is, and whether he's comfortable, and whether he remembers anything, and it hurts when Spencer shakes his head to say no. "It's okay," Brendan says, and what he clearly thinks is a reassuring tone of voice, and for what Spencer thinks is the 1,000th time. "It'll come back, don't worry." "Yeah," Spencer thinks, "easy for you to say," and falls asleep. Shane sits with him later on, and he tells Spencer it's because Brendan's gone to pick Spencer up some clothes so they can go home. "Uh-huh," Spencer says, trying not to stare. It's so weird. He knows he's supposed to know Shane and that they're friends, but it doesn't feel like that. He doesn't even recognize him, let alone remember what it is that they have in common. He has no idea what he's doing in L.A. when the last thing he remembers is living in Las Vegas with his parents. Hang on, why haven't I got any clothes here? What did I come in wearing? Your wetsuit, Shane explains, pouring Spencer some more water. Apparently, he's supposed to keep his fluid levels up, but Spencer's tired of drinking. He pokes his cup miserably. Shane nudges it closer to him and explains. You hit your head when you're surfing. You came off your board. Spencer blinks. I surf? He asks. Spencer doesn't exactly remember playing any sports, except for that time he and Ryan took up skateboarding. It wasn't exactly a success. He wonders where Ryan is, and resolves to ask Brendan the next time he sees him. You and Brendan do pretty much nothing else but surf. His voice is kind of squeaky. We're talking about surfing. No way, Spencer says. What, really? He wonders what the hell he could know about surfing. He taps his fingers and wonders how long Brendan's going to be. At least he remembers who Brendan is. Fuck, did I give Brendan a key to my place? How's he going to get in? Shane looks at him oddly. You guys live together, he says. Didn't Brendan tell you? Well, Spencer thinks, that's weird. He didn't expect that. The doctors say that Spencer's amnesia is likely to pass by itself given time. Spencer asks, how much time? But apparently that's a question no one knows the answer to. Brendan leans in and rubs Spencer's shoulders as the doctor leaves, and Spencer has a moment to think about how comforting that feels, how normal and familiar, before Brendan squeezing his shoulder again and smiling awkwardly. Spencer remembers that smile. He knows that smile, and that at least is reassuring. Brendan might look different, older and less skinny, but there's still something of Brendan that Spencer remembers. Let's get you home, Brendan says. Home, Spencer says, and wonders what kind of place he has with Brendan. Home, Brendan echoes. Bogart's missed you, dude. Spencer doesn't know what the fuck Bogart is, but he lets Brendan help him into the wheelchair they're insisting that he use to get to where Shane's parked the car. His head hurts, and he feels sick now that he's sitting up and moving. Onward, he says weakly and tries for a smile. Home, Brendan says again. Come on. Home is kind of nicer than Spencer imagined. The last he remembered, he'd been living with his parents, and he's definitely not used to the idea of not living with them, and definitely not in a place like this. It's L.A. for a start, and it's warm and sunny, and when they pull up outside, their driveway is lined with greenery. He wonders if they've taken up gardening as well. It doesn't feel like something he'd enjoy. Brendan is very, very careful with him, and helps him out of the car and into the house. He shoos away Bogart, who turns out to be a pretty adorable puppy with a too big collar and dark eyes like Brendan's, and helps Spencer upstairs. Spencer feels like an invalid and hates it. I can do this by myself, he says, which is a lie, but not one he's going to admit to. No, you can't, Brendan says resolutely. The doctor said you'd be wobbly on your feet and that you'd need help. Stop pretending you don't. I'm fine, Spencer maintains, and to prove it, he lets go of Brendan and promptly feels a little dizzy. Whoa, he says, and a furrow appears in between Brendan's brows as he grabs Spencer around the waist, tighter this time. You're going to bed, Brendan says, and you're not going to get up again until I say so, okay? Whatever, Spencer says, but he doesn't want to move much anyway. He lets Brendan help him the rest of the way up the stairs. Spencer's bedroom is kind of sparse. There's a bed, and a set of drawers, and a built-in closet, but that's about it. Brendan sits him on the bed, and then goes to drag a chair for Spencer to sit on while Brendan changes the sheets, because Brendan won't let him in bed without fresh sheets. Not where you're sick, dude, Brendan says when Spencer complains. Mom always said that you can't get well if you've got dirty sheets. Uh-huh, Spencer says, and raises an eyebrow as he looks around the room. Are you sure I live here, dude? Don't I have more stuff than this? Huh? Brendan stops tucking the sheets in and looks around. Well, he says, you keep your stuff everywhere else in the house, that's all. I guess you don't spend much time in here. Huh, Spencer thinks, and spends a moment staring at Brendan's ass, thinking. Brendan clearly feels terrible about the accident, and he's insisting on being ridiculously overprotective of Spencer, with blankets and hugs and soup and medicine. The doctors tell them that nothing is actually wrong with Spencer's brain, and Spencer will remember everything eventually. But in the meantime, he's got a terribly clingy Brendan who is much hotter than Spencer remembers, and nothing is clarifying anything for Spencer. His Twitter just makes him more confused about whether they're dating or not instead of less. Spencer really has no idea what is going on, and they live together. There is a house which is theirs, and for the first couple of days, Brendan won't let Spencer out of bed. There is soup and tea and Brendan hugging him a lot, which just confuses him. Are they dating or aren't they? Brendan's taken up residence on Spencer's bed with him, and they're watching DVDs, and Brendan has brought Spencer his laptop. Spencer is mostly confused. Confused and unable to stop moving closer to Brendan, who smells kind of good, and is about a million times hotter than he was the last time Spencer remembered him. And also, why hasn't Ryan come to visit him yet? Where's Ryan? He asks, and Brendan's face falls, and he curls into Spencer's side, because apparently everyone has forgotten to tell Spencer that his man has broken up while he hasn't been looking. He wishes he hadn't forgotten that. He feels awful. Meanwhile, it's so weird. The dog seems to think he belongs to Spencer and Brendan. He comes over for petting and tries to climb in the bed with him. Brendan isn't acting like it's odd to sleep next to Spencer or share a house with Spencer. And everyone who calls Spencer is acting like him living with Brendan is lovely. Even Brendan's parents. It's so weird. He doesn't mean to get insistent about knowing where Ryan is, but he only gets more so when Brendan fidgets and hugs him and clearly doesn't want to say. Spencer ends up wondering if maybe he and Brendan dating broke up the band. Spencer doesn't know where Ryan lives because he can't remember. But he's decided that the very first thing he's going to do when Brendan will let him out of the house is go and see him. It takes a bit of texting, and it's weird that he can count Pete as a friend now instead of just a friendly guy who signed them, but Pete helps him out with the address. Brendan looks so sad whenever Spencer tries to bring up Ryan that Spencer is convinced that it's all down to them dating. He thinks that's probably why Brendan isn't kissing him either. He feels too bad about them causing the band to break up. So he gets in the car to go see Ryan and takes the dog, too, since the dog seems to belong to him as much as it does Brendan, and he squares his shoulders and goes to see Ryan. He's a little flummoxed, honestly, that they all live in LA now, and he has to sneak out because Brendan normally tries to hug him back into the living room, which doesn't shock Spencer. He's seen how the Urie family like to hug each other before anyone goes anywhere. He's really pleased that Brendan's parents don't mind him living with their youngest son after all. Obviously, he's forgotten them all becoming so open-minded and awesome, although that's probably why they have separate bedrooms for when the parents come to visit. But he has to know what the hell went down with Ryan, so he grabs Bogart and drives off. It's also pretty amazing that he has a GPS, honestly, because he doesn't have a clue where he's going. He feels weird in his own body, like he should be younger or something. His clothes feel like they were picked up by someone else. Brendan texts him 6 times while Spencer's driving, and Spencer texts back, "Don't worry, I'm going to fix stuff with Ryan." And then because Brendan is clearly his boyfriend, and boyfriend's signing off with hearts and shit, he types XOXO and presses send. Then he locks the car and walks up to Ryan's front door, Bogart running around his feet. It seems like a really nice house for Brian to live in, out in the canyon. And he remembers Ryan saying he hated LA and would never live there. So things are definitely weird. Bogart is running around a little crazy, and Spencer picks him up before he knocks on the door. The dog is good moral support, and he doesn't have to worry about what kind of relationship he has with him. Bogart licks him and looks happy. Clearly he belongs just as much to Spencer as he does to Brendan, because they are clearly boyfriends who live together and Brendan spends all of his time in Spencer's room, so that's probably what happens when Spencer's brain isn't fucking them all over too. He's just starting to think that there's no one in Ryan's place when he hears footsteps in the hallway, and then the door opens. Ryan looks nothing like Spencer remembers, and it's a jolting, disconcerting realization. "Spence," Ryan says, and he looks worried. "Spence, are you okay? Should you be out or whatever?" "You didn't call," Spencer manages. Bogart's licking his face, and Spencer wishes Brendan were here. You didn't call, Ryan. I don't remember anything, and you didn't call. Are you really that pissed at me? Ryan looks very, very young. Spence, he says softly. You didn't call me back. For weeks, I figured... Spencer says, what? I've been getting updates from Shane, Ryan says quickly. I've been calling him. It's not like... Spencer knows who Shane is now. He doesn't remember him, not at all. But he knows Shane moved out so that Brendan and Spencer could be together and that he's a friend. I missed you, Spencer says, and Ryan's face falls. I missed you too, Ryan says. Do you want to come inside? They both seem sad, and all Spencer can think is that it's because Spencer left Ryan behind when he started dating Brendan. He can't figure out why else Ryan would be calling Shane instead of him. It's really awkward, and Spencer doesn't understand. He hates it when he doesn't understand. So standing in Ryan's kitchen with a cup of coffee and just staring at each other is really weird. Finally, Spencer says, was it the whole, Brendan thing? Is that why we're not talking? Because I'm pretty sure the not talking thing totally fucking sucks. Ryan looks confused and then sad. Yeah, he says. It totally fucking sucks. I don't understand, Spencer says after a while. He's so confused and he misses Brendan, who is clearly his boyfriend, but who isn't kissing him or putting his hand down Spencer's pants. And Spencer wants to hurry up and get better so that Brendan will do that again. And he wants to fix things with Ryan so that they're not mad anymore. Because this sucks, and he wants things back the way they're supposed to be. He's going to have a talk with Brendan about being a better boyfriend and the healing power of blowjobs. But in the meantime, Ryan isn't even petting Bogart or saying anything. It must have been a really awful fight. He's also thinking about mounting an offense attack and sticking his hand down Brendan's pants, but he doesn't want Brendan to stop him because he thinks Spencer isn't well enough yet or whatever. Spencer thinks he should probably drop some hints that orgasms are good for recovery. Spencer holds his dog out. You even said hey to my dog, he says lamely because he doesn't know how to fix this, because he doesn't know what went wrong in the first place. Your dog, Ryan says, but he pats Bogart and scratches him behind the ear so that Bogart licks Ryan's face. Spencer shrugs. I am Brendan's, whatever. He waits a moment and then bites his lip. Tell me how to fix this, Ryan. I'll fix it. Just tell me. I don't know, Ryan says. He looks kind of helpless. He shrugs his shoulders and scratches Bogart between the ears. We wanted different things. So? Spencer says belligerently. He doesn't see why him wanting Brendan to be his boyfriend should mean he and Ryan couldn't be friends anymore. So, Ryan says. I don't know. Things change. He looks really sad. I miss you, he says again. I don't think I've gone anywhere, Spencer says. He hugs his dog, who wriggles a little in his arms. I'm still there, with Brendan. I know, Ryan says after a while. You're still there, but I don't think I was anymore. Spencer is officially confused. Spencer says something awkward and adorable about how Ryan could come by and visit, and he's got a great excuse after all. And then he uses the sad eyes to make Ryan feel guilty. It's good to know that still works. He won't leave until Ryan promises to come visit, because obviously if Ryan sees that he and Brendan are happy, he'll relax about the whole thing. And then he takes his puppy and goes home to try and make a sexy move on his surprise hot boyfriend. Brendan is really grumpy because Spencer snuck out, and Spencer stands there for a while as Brendan yells at him for taking stupid risks and screwing up and going out of the house while confused. Anything could have happened, Spencer. Anything. Spencer thinks, and then closes the distance between them and kisses Brendan. Shut up, he says against Brendan's mouth. Shut up and kiss me back. Brendan makes a startled noise and shoves Spencer away, but he also grabs at his shirt with his other hand, tugging him closer. Spencer thinks he's still worried Spencer's not up to it, so he just walks them back against the wall and keeps kissing him until Brendan's hands go lax. See? Now I feel better. Spencer grins. Brendan manages, and Spencer thinks he sounds confused, but he's not pushing Spencer away, so Spencer just kisses him again. See? Spencer says with a grin. I'm totally up for kissing you again, so you can stop worrying. He kisses Brennan again, and Brennan's hands curl in Spencer's shirt. I'm pretty sure I'm up for you sticking your hands down my pants again, too. Brennan yelps, but he keeps a hold of Spencer's shirt, keeping him close. No, really, I'm fine, Spencer says. And I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure I missed this. He takes a minute to kiss Brennan, breathless again. You missed this? Brennan asks against his mouth. He clutches at the back of Spencer's t-shirt. Definitely, says Spencer. Brennan manages, but Spencer has definitely missed this. His stomach feels kind of weird, like it has been far too long since they did this, longer than just a couple weeks. But he tries not to concentrate on that, because he's kissing the corner of Brennan's mouth and cupping his chin in his hand. Spencer, Brennan starts. Shh. Spencer interrupts him. This is not talking time. This is making out time. I'm pretty sure that you should have learned this by now. Spencer! Brennan pulls away now, but he's pink-cheeked and breathing kind of hard. You think we've done this before? I don't remember everything, but yeah, Spencer says. Brennan's mouth is amazing, and he tastes like beer and chocolate and suntan lotion. Spencer is never going to forget this again. Wait, hang on, Brennan says, turning his face away. Spencer, is this the concussion talking? Did the headache come back? Are you feeling sick? If Spencer lets Brennan start to worry again, it'll be days before they get to do this again. So Spencer puts his hands on the wall and brackets Brennan. I feel awesome, he says. Okay, he leers. I feel amazing, Spencer goes on, kissing Brennan again. Because I get to do this again. Brennan makes a sound in his throat. I'm fine, Spencer says, fingertips stroking Brennan's jaw. You don't need to worry about me getting sick again. Orgasms probably help, anyway. Brennan whines a little. Spencer, he says breathlessly. Spence, really stop. You don't really want this. You can't. Spencer stops kissing him, but he doesn't move away. What do I need to do to convince you it's okay to start making out with me again? Brennan blinks. Spence, he says softly. We've never done this before. You and me, we haven't. I don't know what you think you're remembering, but it isn't this. It isn't me. What? Spencer laughs. No, no way. I remember this. I remember. He is sure he can remember the way Brennan feels draped across his back, or curled up on the couch with him, or falling asleep in bed with him. He knows he wants this. He loves the way Brennan fits against him, the way his hand fits perfectly in the dip of Brendan's lower back. He remembers wanting Brennan. You don't remember it with me, Brennan repeats quietly. We share a house, and a dog, and a bed, Spencer says. Your mom called 3 times to check on me. Brennan laughs and looks sad. I wish I remembered what you remember. Spencer feels kind of desperate. What? He says again. You're screwing with me, right? Brennan shakes his head miserably. No, we haven't, he says finally. That was the first time. He clenches his fist by his side and looks utterly desolate. But, Spencer says wildly, his head hurts. You hug me all the time. We, on the couch, the hugging. You're like my boyfriend. My boyfriend. No, Brennan says. He sounds gentle and terribly sad. Not your boyfriend. You're telling me I moved in with you and Ryan quit the band and we're not even dating? Spencer asks a little wildly. What does Ryan have to do with this? Brennan asks. Shay moved out and you were staying on the couch, so you just kind of moved in. Spencer knows it isn't just that. He can feel it. He wouldn't have been staying there for no reason. He could have got an apartment nearby. He wanted to be with Brennan. He wanted Brennan. If that's what I said, then I'm a liar, Spencer tells Brennan. What? Brennan says. He looks confused. I am a liar, Spencer says. I must be. I didn't make up this. He moves his hands, hoping they'll explain better than he can. I didn't make up how I'm feeling right now, about you. Spence, Brennan says carefully. You've had a serious head injury. You're not thinking straight. Shut up, Spencer says. I know, okay? I know, but I'm still not wrong. Brennan's cheeks are pink. I wish you weren't, he says. Wrong, I mean, but you are. Spencer narrows his eyes. Tell me how I know this, then. he says, and kisses Brennan at that spot where his jaw and his neck meet. Brennan closes his eyes out of reflex and shivers. Spencer presses their chests together, hands on Brennan's hips. "Maybe you spied on me," Brennan manages. Spencer scrapes his teeth across Brennan's neck. "Oh, God." Spencer pulls back a little again. "I know," says Spencer. "I know what a house and a dog and a bed means. I know that I keep twittering pictures of you. We went out for a beer and I wrote, 'Doesn't get much better. Me and you.'" "You meant the beer," Brennan says, but he doesn't sound entirely convinced himself. "I could have lived anywhere," Spencer says, and he doesn't move away, staying pressed to Brennan's chest. "Anywhere, but I didn't. I stayed here." "You missed Haley," Brennan says, stammering. His hands are still on Spencer's hips, his thumb stroking. Spencer thinks Brennan hasn't even noticed. Spencer doesn't even know who Haley is, not really. He knows she was an ex-girlfriend because Brennan's told him. "Sure," he says. "For a while, maybe. But I stayed. I moved in with you and your dog and whatever. I moved in with you. I'm not wrong." "You never said anything to me," Brennan says doubtfully. "Except you thought I'd be lonely without Shane, and house hunting is shitty." Spencer laughs. "So I'm still a pretty crappy liar, huh?" "No, I mean, you meant it. You said you meant it. You never acted like, I thought you meant it," Brennan says. "You've been here for months, and you didn't do anything except kick around the music room and go surfing with me, and waterproof the deck, I guess. Not that you got around to it." Spencer raises an eyebrow. "I spent months just hanging out with you?" "Yeah, we sit around, we play music, we play video games, we see movies, we go to bars." Brennan trails off. "And none of that sounds like dating at all," Spencer agrees sarcastically. "It wasn't dating," Brennan says quickly. "I would have realized." Spencer's desperate. "I'm not wrong about this," he says again. "Tell me you don't want to make out with me as much as I want to make out with you." He tries to smile but can't. Brennan's being an idiot. "I waterproofed your deck," he says. "I'm pretty sure that's a boy-friendly thing to do. I didn't even know I could do that." "You looked it up online," Brennan says. "You watched like a million YouTube videos." "To waterproof your deck," Spencer says carefully. He raises an eyebrow and waits. "Brennan," he says finally, when it's clear Brennan isn't going to say anything else. "Come on, do you want to make out with me or not?" "I," says Brennan and stops. "Well, I..."
"Yes?"
says Spencer, feeling a little sick. "That's not a fair question," Brennan bursts out. "Tomorrow you might remember you don't want to, and if I say I do, you'll think I'm weird and you'll move out and I don't want you to." Spencer says quietly, "That's not what I'm going to remember, and that's the opposite of why I'd move out." "Well, you never said anything before. I almost got you killed in a horrible accident, so..." says Brennan, ducking under Spencer's arm and fleeing upstairs. He never did answer Spencer's question, is the thing. Spencer spends a few quality seconds feeling very confused. Firstly, about Brennan not being his boyfriend, which feels really very wrong. And secondly, about his conversation with Ryan. If it wasn't about Brennan, then Spencer really has no idea why things are so bad between the two of them. He stands at the bottom of the stairs and feels sad. "Brennan," he yells after a minute of staring at the carpet. "I'm not moving out. You're stuck with me." Brennan doesn't say anything back, though, and Spencer's shoulders slump. Spencer definitely remembers things. He knows he's not wrong. He watches some footage of the two of them goofing around for the cameras on his laptop and sees them standing too close together and the way Brennan smiles when he can't help himself, and he's sure he's right. Possibly, he's been too stupid to say anything, though. Apparently, he never got around to mentioning to Brennan that they were dating. In the meantime, he's never going to convince Brennan that he's serious if he can't remember things. He's going to have to get his memories back. He really would feel better, he thinks mopily, with a Brennan-assisted orgasm or two. Spencer sits at the kitchen table with his laptop and mopes for a while. "Brennan, you're my boyfriend, and I'm really sorry I forgot to tell you," he says to nobody in particular. Brennan's still hiding upstairs. His laptop blinks reassuringly at him. "I can't remember anything," he says. But I do know that having sex with you would be pretty damn amazing. He kicks the table leg and slumps over the table, wishing he could remember. Bogart runs around his feet and noses lazily at Spencer's crotch before running over to the window and barking at the tree outside. "Stop that, you stupid mutt," Spencer says affectionately. "I thought we'd got you to stop that already. How many weeks of dog obedience classes and you still haven't learnt?" There's a moment where he just stares before he starts yelling. "Brendan!" he yells. "I remembered something. I remembered how stupid our dog is." "You haven't remembered that," Brendan yells back, his voice muffled. "New people learn that in 5 seconds. Stop trying to make me feel better." "No, wait, listen," Spencer hollers. "He's purebred, right? And we were promised he'd be an amazing dog show worthy dog, but then it turned out all he does is bark and ruin shoes. We sent him to obedience school and he flunked out with a rubber bone for his diploma." There's a pause, and then Brendan peeks around the top of the stairs. "You remember that?" he says. "Yes," Spencer says. He picks up Bogart and hugs him happily, and Bogart licks his neck. "Hey, I also just remember that we promised the vet we'd stop giving him treats, and you have a secret stash upstairs in your t-shirt drawer." "You didn't know that before," Brendan squeaks wide-eyed. "Dude, I knew lots of stuff I apparently didn't tell you," Spencer replies. "Our dog is stupid," Spencer says happily, letting Bogart lick his face. "Our dog is the stupidest, but not as stupid as you, apparently, because you think I'm going to stop wanting to kiss you." He scratches Bogart between the ears again, and Bogart tries to squirm over in Spencer's arms so that Spencer can scratch his tummy. Their dog is stupid. Spencer's never been happier about anything. "I'm not going to want to stop kissing you anytime soon," Spencer goes on, "because I haven't stopped wanting to for like a fucking year or something, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to want to stop anytime soon." He doesn't remember that yet. Not all of the last year, but he's pretty sure he remembered enough that he can say he's wanted to kiss Brendan without it being a lie. "Brendan," he yells, "are you even listening to me?" There's a pause, then, "Tell me why the band broke up," Brendan says. Spencer grits his teeth. "I remember you," he says. "I remember our dog. I remember moving in here, and trust me, I wasn't just too lazy to find my own place." "You don't really remember," says Brendan, sounding disappointed. "Your brain is injured and it's making you crazy." "So that's your excuse then," Spencer grumbles. Bogart barks to be let down. He yells, "You wanted me too." There's another pause. "There is no way you could remember that," Brendan says in a small voice. Spencer is remembering things a lot faster suddenly. "We just went on a tour," he says. "It feels weird to only remember Brendan being there, but maybe Pete was there too. Just you and me, and it was lonely, and you made me sleep on the couch in the bus with you." Brendan squeaks. "I didn't exactly make you." "No," Spencer amends. "You asked, and I wanted to. I wanted to. And my brain wasn't injured then, so I just wanted to, because I, wanted to." "Shut up," Brendan says miserably. "Spence, what if I tell you and you wake up tomorrow and you've remembered and I'm back to just being your roommate and you don't want me either? Where do we go from there?" "Brendan," Spencer says patiently, "I'm pretty sure I'm in love with you." "Shut up," Brendan says again, but he sounds a little shaky. "You can't be." "You shut up," Spencer says, folding his arms gruffly. "I'm pretty sure I can. And I remember that's my t-shirt you're wearing." Brendan looks a little guiltily. "You gave it to me?" "I have a brain injury," Spencer says, rolling his eyes. "Stop that." "I like the way it smelled," Brendan says in a small voice. "I missed you, okay?" "The way I smelled?" Spencer asks over the thump of his heartbeat. "You missed me?" Brendan backpedals. "I missed you being around. You were injured. No one wanted to watch Avatar with me or walk the dog. You spent 4 days in bed with me while I was recovering, and you missed me," Spencer says, grinning. Brendan sits down on the top step. "I mean, you moved in, and we spent a lot of time together, and I dragged you out surfing, and then you got hurt, and I needed someone to tell me you were going to be okay, but you couldn't, and I missed you." "You didn't get me hurt," says Spencer. "I must have wanted to surf." "I'm always dragging you places," Brendan says. Spencer has another flash of memory. "I didn't want to go to Red Robin," he says, "so I didn't. I did want to go to Pete's, and I did want to see that movie with you, and I did want to... Hang on! We bought matching tracksuits to walk Bogart, right? Brendan swallows a laugh. We, maybe? Oh my god, says Spencer. How could you possibly not have known I was in love with you? Brendan turns a satisfying shade of pink. Spence! And Spencer is pretty sure that he actually squeaks. You spent 4 days in bed with me, Brendan, Spencer says, and he's tired of this now. He's tired and his head is beginning to ache. Sharing my bed and looking after me, and I... Fuck! Brendan, I love you. Just, I don't know, tell me you love me back or something, please. I, Brendan says, you're my best friend, and I almost killed you, and I've spent a really, really long time thinking that, wondering if you kissed me, and you said you remembered being in love with me, and I would have known, because I've been in love with you since I was 17, basically, so I just don't believe you. And now I'm going to go hide upstairs again. He's on his feet and vanished down the hallway by the time he says the last word. Spencer gapes. I would remember that, he yells. Either he really doesn't remember everything, or Brendan is a much, much better actor than Spencer thought he was. Or maybe they have both been really stupid. There's no response from upstairs. Spencer stands in the kitchen doorway and watches Bogart run around the yard. He puts some food out for him and refills his water bowl, and then goes around the house and closes the curtains and the blinds. He locks the back door after Bogart comes back inside and goes upstairs to his bedroom. The covers on his bed are all messy from the night before, when it was him and Brendan sharing, but the room is empty now, apart from him. Brendan's down the hallway in his own bed with the door shut. Spencer sits on the end of his bed and pulls out his cell phone. He types, I remember some stuff about the band. I still fucking miss you. And sends it to Ryan, and then slips back onto the bed. Fuck, he says, and feels sad. After a few minutes, he pulls on his pajama pants and a t-shirt and passes down the hallway to Brendan's room. Hi, he says, pushing the door open. Brendan scrolled up on the bed, looking as sad as Spencer's ever seen him. He doesn't say anything. I was thinking, Spencer says after a minute. I was thinking that maybe I could stay here tonight, with you. Does your head hurt? Brendan asks quietly. Do you need those migraine pills? I just don't want to sleep by myself, says Spencer. He's not above lying about his head hurting if it means Brendan will let him stay. I remember that. I had lunch with Ryan, and then I slept in here with you, right? I guess it was a really bad lunch. Brendan laughs a little. Lunch is okay, he said. You just hate fighting with him. And then your mom called and asked when you're going to settle down and get married, and I slept in here that night too, Spencer says. He wishes he remembered everything. Brendan just nods. So can I? Spencer asks, fidgeting a little. Brendan rolls over so he's at the edge of the bed. If you want, he says. I guess. Spencer climbs into bed next to Brendan and pulls up the cover so that they're both warm enough. Brendan's air conditioning is always set to extra cold. They lie there for a while, Brendan on his side facing away from Spencer. Spencer lying on his back staring up at the ceiling. That's a long time, Spencer says finally. Years, Brendan. Why didn't you ever say anything? Brendan shrugs, but stays right where he is. You didn't say anything either, he says. You didn't say anything first, Spencer says. You would never have wanted me back, Brendan says with another shrug. Yeah, Spencer says. Except for the whole part where I love you. Fuck, are you stupider than our stupid fucking dog? Stupider, Spence. Brendan rolls over so he's facing Spencer. Really? Fuck you, Spencer says, but the moon's a little lighter than it was a minute ago. Brendan smiles a weird little half-smile. Do you remember the first time you came here to stay? He asks. He shifts so that he's resting his cheek against his hand, curled up at the edge of the pillow. Spencer thinks for a moment. Some parts of his memory are still blank, which is really fucking weird. And there are other reasons apart from loving Brendan why he doesn't want to sleep alone tonight. That lame-ass air mattress, Spencer says after a moment. You gave me that shitty air mattress. It leaked. You slept in here that night, too, Brennan says softly. Yeah, Spencer says. Yeah. But then you went and bought a deluxe, super fancy one so you wouldn't have to sleep here. Brennan points out a little sadly. I woke up and you'd gone downstairs to hide, Spencer remembers. I didn't want to freak you out. I still found a way to stay up here a couple times a week. Brennan quirks his mouth into a smile. I really didn't think you were that sneaky, he says. Oh, Spencer says. I've apparently been way too sneaky all along. I'm going to have to be really straightforward, I guess. He rolls over onto his side so he's facing Brendan. Hi, he says. I love you and I want to kiss you pretty much all the time. There must have been a reason you didn't, Brendan says miserably. You just haven't remembered it yet. I think it was that I'm kind of stupid too, says Spencer. Oh, Brendan says thinking. Okay. Really fucking stupid, Spencer says nodding. I'm pretty sure that's it. But what if it isn't, Brendan says. That would totally fucking suck. Spencer rolls his eyes. I'm going to try this again, he says. In really small words, then you can say it back to me. He blushes. You know, if you want. I love you, and I want to kiss you pretty much all the time. Brennan waits a moment. His cheeks are pink. I want, he says. But you should never have bought that super amazing air mattress. I moved into your fucking house, Brendan. Spencer points out. He shuffles closer. I moved in. Because you sneakily wanted to kiss me, Brendan says. Yeah, Spencer says, clearing his throat and feeling suspiciously warm. Pretty much. That, and you're kind of the best person I know. Oh, Brendan says. He picks at the pillowcase with the tip of his finger. You, too. The best person, I mean. I kind of love you, too. He says quickly, and I want to kiss you all the time as well. There, Spencer says, but his heart is beating so fast and so loud he can barely hear over it. That wasn't so hard, was it? No, Brendan whispers, not too hard. So would it be okay if I did? Spencer asks, hurt tight. If you... Okay, says Brendan. Spencer leans in and kisses him. It's not possible that they haven't been doing this all along. His arms slide around Brendan so easily, and he knows just how to kiss him to coax his mouth open. He pulls Brendan a little closer, and Brendan's still a little stiff, a little hesitant, but he's loosening up. It takes a moment, but Brendan's relaxing against him, and he's kissing Spencer back softly, still a little hesitantly, but he's not pulling away. Spencer breathes a little easier. Brendan tastes sweet and a little stressed out, and Spencer wants to kiss him until he's relaxed and loose and pliant. Are you okay? Brendan asks, pulling away after a minute of trading kisses. Spencer tries not to roll his eyes. I haven't changed my mind, if that's what you're asking. He slides his hand down to the curve of Brendan's back, trying to pull him closer. You've just had a head trauma, Brendan says worriedly. He brushes his thumb across Spencer's forehead. Are you feeling okay? No, Spencer says sulkily. Brendan looks horrified before Spencer presses his mouth to the corner of Brendan's. I was kissing this amazing guy, but then he stopped for no reason at all. Head trauma, Brendan says again. Brain injury. Making out, Spencer retorts. Get over here and kiss me again. What if we're kissing and you get sick again? Brendan asks. What if you don't kiss me and I get sick again? Spencer replies. Wouldn't that be even sadder? Seriously, I can't believe you say you want to kiss me and then you just stop. That's making my head hurt. Brendan grins a little bit. Nah, poor baby, he says. He brings his hand up to Spencer's jaw and kisses him again. Better, says Spencer against his mouth. But I'm pretty sure it'd be even better if you'd let me take your shirt off. Brendan looks scandalized. You have a brain injury, he says. You are not taking my shirt off. I'm fully recovered, Spencer says, sliding his hand under Brendan's shirt and onto his hip. Brendan's skin was hot and kind of intoxicating. You are not, Brendan says, slapping Spencer's hand away. Give me the tour schedule and tell me what we did for your birthday last year. And he stops to think. Tell me what song I sung on Pete's patio that one time. Spencer narrows his eyes. Fine, he says. Be like that. See if you like making out with me fully clothed when you could be naked. Brendan rolls his eyes and kisses Spencer again, soft and slow. Shut up, he says, and his words hum against Spencer's mouth. Shut up and let me kiss you. Okay, Spencer says after a moment. Brendan's kissing him so slowly and so very softly, hardly moving, his tongue just sliding along Spencer's lower lip. It's kind of the most amazing kiss Spencer's ever had. Spencer's arm is starting to go numb beneath Brendan. Which way do you want to roll? He asks, because there's no way he's letting go, not when he's just worked one of his hands down to a decent grip on Brendan's ass. Spencer is a gentleman, though. Up, Brendan says, and rolls on top of Spencer. Better for your injury. You are ridiculous, says Spencer, but he likes the way it feels, having Brendan on top of him, straddling his hips. The doctor said nothing too strenuous, said Brendan primly. He leans down and kisses Spencer again, less tentative and more claiming is the word Spencer would use, maybe. Brendan kisses him over and over and over until Spencer is left hoping that Brendan doesn't ask him any more questions about what he does or doesn't remember, because Spencer's pretty sure he's a little shaky on his own name right now. Brendan kisses him until Spencer's breathless, his hand sliding on Brendan's back, cupping his ass again, and then Brendan pulls away. What are you doing? Spencer manages, sitting up on his elbows. Nothing too strenuous, the doctor said, Brendan says again. You're out of breath. Because you're hot, Spencer points out grumpily. He sneaks a hand under Brendan's shirt and strokes it at his hip. Brendan looks pretty amazing, sitting back on his heels, straddling him. You're hot, and I'm pretty sure I've wanted this forever, and you just stop. Brendan only blushes a little bit, but he doesn't kiss Spencer again. I don't want you to die, he points out, poking Spencer's belly with one finger. I've not kissed you for years. I'm pretty sure another few days won't hurt. I'm pretty sure they will, Spencer says under his breath. He needs to prove to Brendan he's well enough for orgasms, only he's not exactly sure how. Good night, says Brendan abruptly and rolls back over on his side of the bed. Whoa, hang on. Who said anything about good night? Spencer pushes himself up on his elbows. You came up and interrupted me going to sleep, says Brendan, curling up with his back to Spencer. Good night. Spencer considers that entirely unfair statement for a minute. No way, he says. Brendan pretends to start snoring. Spencer rolls his eyes really hard and puts his arms around Brendan's waist, hauling him backwards so Spencer can press up against him. You don't seriously want to go to sleep right now, he says, rocking his hips a little bit against Brendan's ass. I'm not that kind of boy, Brendan says primly, which is a vicious lie. Spencer knows from years on a tour bus with him. I just remember that you're lying, Spencer complains. Brendan sighs. What about if you don't want to do this anymore tomorrow? He asks quietly. I will, Spencer says. Okay, Brendan agrees easily. Then tell me so in the morning. He leans up and kisses Spencer softly, and then turns back to his side of the bed. Fine, Spencer says grumpily. He's sort of glad Brendan's facing the other way, so he can't see how pink Spencer is after Brendan's soft kiss. See if I care if you don't want to see me naked. That's right, Brendan agrees, humming a little under his breath. Shut up and go to sleep. You are making my brain injury worse, Spencer complains without thinking, and he doesn't miss the way Brendan's shoulders tighten a little at that. He waits a beat and then shuffles closer, wrapping an arm around Brendan's chest and kissing to the nape of Brendan's neck. I didn't mean that, he says softly. I'm sorry. It's okay, Brendan says, but he doesn't relax back against Spencer. I know. Seriously, Spencer says. Accident. Not your fault. Brendan relaxes against him, covering Spencer's hand with his own. I know, he says, but I'm still not kissing you anymore tonight. I'll still feel the same in the morning, Spencer tells him, and he leans in and kisses Brendan's cheek. I'll still be here. Good, Brendan says. I'll be waiting. Spencer lets out a breath. If I don't remember, he starts, if this is it, if this is all the memory I get back, and I have to relearn every single song we've ever released, I'm still not going to stop being in love with you. Just so you know, this feeling isn't going to go away. Brendan makes a small sound in the back of his throat and presses a little closer. "You'll remember," he says. "Hopefully," Spencer says. The doctors say there might always be gaps in his memory, which is gonna suck if true. He hopes the good parts don't stay forgotten. He hopes he remembers how to play the drums. That would really suck. "I'll get over it," he says after a while. "We'll just fill in the gaps somehow. It's still not going to make me stop loving you." That part he's sure of, at least. "Hmm," Brennan says. Spencer strokes Brennan's hair for a moment. "I'll make you believe me," he says. "I'll tell you every day until you believe it." Brennan curls in a little closer. "Go to sleep," he says softly. "Stop talking. You've been really ill. You need your sleep." "I need orgasms," Spencer grumbles, but he slides his hand into Brendan's and presses nearer anyway. "Sleep," Brendan tells him again, and Spencer nods. He'll tell Brendan again in the morning, and again the morning after that. He'll keep telling him. "Don't think I can't hear you thinking, Spencer." Spencer grins and rubs his nose against Brendan's neck. "Slave driver," he says affectionately, and closes his eyes. The end. This has been I Wish I Could Remember You by Sunset Mog. Original story text can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/465323.